Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Alterna Legal Podcast. I'm your host, Canyon Cody, taking you on a deep dive into the world of Latin alternative with in-depth conversations with legends like Juanes and Julieta Venegas, Café Tacuba, Natalia Lafourcade, and a new generation of young superstars like Omar Apollo, Danny Lux, Cuco, and Ivan Conejo, who have all stopped by our weekly radio program, Alterna Legal with Subsuelo, broadcasting at the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles. But on the radio show, we only have time to air brief snippets of those conversations, so here on the Alterna Legal Podcast is where you will find the unedited, uncut, extended version of all those interviews. Follow and listen to the Alterna Legal Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app. And we are back. This is Alterna Lido, and we are here to welcome Ceci Bastida to the show. How are you doing today, Ceci?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so excited to talk to you. You have a new song out. You've been working on a new podcast. There's so much to get into, but I just want to start from the very beginning. Tell me a little bit about your background and your family and where you came up from.
I was born and raised in Tijuana, Mexico. So I lived there most of my life. Eventually, I moved to Mexico City for several years before coming to LA, 15, 16 years ago. So, yeah.
And so you are an artist whose career goes far back and has gone through a lot of twists and turns. Because you have this new podcast about Latinas in punk music, I want to talk to you about Tijuana No and your band from what you were, how old, 15 years old when you started?
When we started, yes, I was 15.
And so take me back. What was the scene like for your first concert with them?
The first concert, mm-hmm. God, we used to play in this really tiny bar in Mexicali, which is a city like 2.5 hours away from Tijuana. And it was just like, I'm trying to think of a bar here that you can kind of imagine. It's just tiny. It was tiny. It wasn't set up for a show, but people used to come and see us. And it was kind of bizarre to me because I didn't understand where people came and how they found out that we were playing, but they did. So we ended up going to that bar a bunch of times.
And was punk something that was your first music that you gravitated to, or was there a transition into punk?
It was always sort of in the background. I mean, not always, but as soon as I started finding interest in music that I felt like a lot of the kids in my school might not be into, I was gravitating more towards like David Bowie, Bob Marley, a lot of New Wave, The Clash, obviously, Ramones eventually. But I never got into like hardcore punk. Like I was never like a Black Flag person. You know what I mean? It was more like melodic, powerful, but nothing too crazy fast or like, you know. That was my thing.
And at that age, did you already have like a strong sense that being a musician for the rest of your life was something you wanted to do? Or were there kind of other possible dreams in your future?
It's funny because I didn't really think too much about the future. So I saw myself playing with this band for many, many years. And I just assumed that anything that I did that wasn't musical would have some sort of connection to music. And so I felt like I was in the right sort of world. But I wasn't sure. You know, I didn't really think about a career in music. I really didn't think that you could make a living, especially, you know, you're in a city in Mexico. You're not even in the capital, which back then made sense. You know, people who actually made it were people that lived in Mexico City or moved to Mexico City. So being from Tijuana just felt so far from everything. And again, we were so close to the US, but at the same time, there was like this huge, not just physical barrier, but it was just like mentally, it just felt like a different, you know, like a different world. So I didn't really think about it that, you know, too much into the future.
How early in Tijuana No did you guys make the physical crossing over the border and do your first performances in the US?
It was pretty early. You know, we started playing in 80, we got together in 89. So, you know, but shows started happening probably like around the 90. I think our first show in the US was randomly in Fresno, because we managed to get this manager from Mexico City that lived in Fresno at the time. And she was like, you know, I'm going to bring you up. And she was starting to do shows with bands up there. And I, you know, I'd never been to Fresno. And it ended up being a cool show. But that was our first one.
What was the feedback and interaction with English-speaking punk bands over here? Was there kind of a interest in collaboration, camaraderie, or did they see you as a separate genre?
I don't know if they saw us as a separate genre. Honestly, we didn't really share the stage with many more like American bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did more Mexican-Americans, perhaps, but not like white bands. For no reason, it just kind of didn't happen. So you sort of created your own scene, or were introduced to a scene that was already established, and it was mostly Latinos. And as the years passed, we ended up doing some shows with some other bands that were non-Latino, but you know, it was mainly like a Latino thing.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And so after you were in Tijuana No, talk to me at the kind of the musical evolution that happened in this next stage of your career, moving into solo music.
So I think with Tijuana No, being a band, there's a lot of giving in. And there were certain things that I wasn't that crazy about. But, you know, you kind of have to just accept. We were six members and everybody had a point of view. And I wanted to do something that was a little bit more melodic. And I also was interested in doing music that was still political. Not every single song necessarily, but it was still political or touched on social justice issues. But I wanted to talk about them from a different point of view, not too direct, not too. I felt like it was almost at times like a pamphlet with Tijuana No. You know, that was my critique at the time. And now going back and listening and kind of understanding what we were doing, I respected more now than I did back then. Back then I was like, no, we need to get better at this. So I just wanted to try something different. And I also wanted to move away from the punk, ska, you know, that sound that to me, you know, through the years you listen to so many other kinds of music that you want to try to experiment with other things and not feel like you have to do the same thing.
So we are talking to Ceci Bastida, our artist spotlight of the week here on Alternalido. And so after Tijuana No, you ended up hitting the road and doing a lot of touring. You did a lot of touring with Julieta Venegas. Talk to me about what that changes from being, you know, an artist who was primarily a local artist to now traveling around the world. How did that affect you as a musician?
It was interesting because when she asked me to join her band, I was kind of done with Tijuana No. I didn't want it. But it wasn't just the band. I love them. I always loved them. But I hated the whole business part of it. Like, I hated the managers we had. I hated promoters. I just kind of hated everybody. And so I didn't want to deal with any of it. So when she asked me to play in her band, I realized that I was only going to play music. I was only going to play her music. I didn't have to deal with anything. And so that to me was appealing. And at that time, I had stopped making music for about a year or two. So I thought it'd be fun. I thought it'd be a fun way to sort of go back to it without really being, you know, it wasn't up to me. I was just like an employee in a weird way. And I got to travel with my best friend. So it was fun. And I saw her career grow, you know, because I started with her when she was not, you know, she wasn't doing that well. She was doing well, but not like, you know, it happened eventually. So seeing that growth was interesting to me. And also, I always find fascinating learning about people's processes, people's way of making music, and learning somebody else's songs is also very, I find very enriching, and I learn a lot from it. So learning her songs, you kind of get a glimpse of people's brains, and I was fascinated by it. So I think I learned a lot.
And then what was the transition like moving away again from that collective group and into your solo focused career?
That was a tricky one because, you know, it was easy in a weird way. You know, I just had to get up and go to the show and that was it. No, I didn't have to do all the promo that she had to do. I didn't have to do any of it. And it was just, you know, like a steady job in a weird way, too. Like, you know, she was doing well. There was work. And as a musician, it's hard enough. You know, it's hard way to make a living as a musician. So having that gig was great for me and being able to travel and all that stuff. But then I wanted to do something of my own. And so I started writing music a little bit and I started recording some stuff with other people, mainly here in LA. And eventually a small radio station or a public radio station started playing my music. And I started to get invited to do some shows. So, you know, I couldn't do them if I was still with her. So I had a conversation with her and I said, you know, I want to try to pursue this. And she was great because she was, I'll never forget what she said. She said something like, I'd rather you go as much as I'll miss you or something like that. But I'd rather you never resent me. And I want, you know, I want us to be friends forever. So yes. So that was great. But it's also, you know, you're trying something new and, you know, you have to kind of start from scratch. So that's always challenging. But it was more satisfying in a weird way, you know, because it's your own stuff.
So you've gone through two kind of major band, I don't want to say breakups, separations. Yeah. What is that? Conscious detangling. and you know, I think about and I hear about bands being really like romantic relationships. I mean, you live and tour with these people and you date them and love them. And, you know, there are arcs and some of them go on forever and some of them end. What are some of the healthy practices for being in a relationship in a band that you've learned over the years?
I think learning to find spaces for yourself, because I think you can get saturated. You know, you're like you said, you're traveling with these same people. You're constantly in small spaces with them. So if you're able to find moments for yourself, I think that's what keeps you more sane, because you don't get sick of people. You know, that to me was the more important thing, to try to figure out moments of, you know, if we were at a certain place, try to take off and, you know, go for a walk or go explore something. But then, you know, get back together with them and do stuff with them. I think, you know, it's a hard thing. I don't have an important tip to give you, but because it is tricky. It is very tricky. But also understanding that, you know, that fights are normal, or, you know, moments of silence too. Like sometimes I don't want to talk, or you're in a in the van and, or on the bus, and you feel like you're not, you know, you don't want to have to talk all the time. So just, you know, be quiet and keep to yourself. And I think that's a good thing.
I can't tell you how many times my bandmates have given me that exact piece of advice. So we are talking to Ceci Bastida, our artist spotlight of the week. And, you know, we've talked about your arc from punk to kind of doing more melodic rock. And you also have a lot of dance music in your catalog. And this news track that we're going to play, I've been playing in my DJ sets, is called Dale. Take us up to now. Tell us about Dale.
So Dale is a song that I started writing a couple years ago. The reason I, you know, the new music that I'm making is also taking a bit longer because of the pandemic. And I have a 10-year-old daughter that had to do a lot of homeschooling during the first part of the pandemic. So that sort of, I had to pause everything for her, which I was happy to do. But I started working on this track a while ago, and I think it was inspired mainly by the caravans of migrants from Central America that were coming through Mexico, trying to get asylum at the U.S. in the U.S. And so I just wanted to tell a story, like how I would envision something like that happening in someone's life, where you decide, okay, I need to leave, and you know, the desperation is so great that you know you can't stay home anymore. So I wanted to tell a story from sort of that point of view.
That was Dale from Ceci Bastida, who we are talking to right now, our artist spotlight of the week. And in addition to your music, you are also have been working on a podcast called Punk in Translation, which is about the history of Latinos and Latinas in punk music. Why was this a story that you felt was important to tell?
It was interesting because first I was, people wanted, the people that were making the podcast wanted to interview me to talk about punk music in Tijuana or something like that. I don't even remember what the reasoning was, because it's mainly focused in the U.S. But we did an interview with them, and so they asked me if I wanted to. They didn't have a host at the time, and they wanted somebody that was bilingual, and they wanted somebody ideally that was a woman. And so they asked me, and I said yes, and mainly because, you know, I obviously grew up with a lot of these bands. I knew of them, and you know, I was in that world for such a long time that it made sense. And it was just also a fun experience for me. I'd never done something like that, and I realized how difficult it is to just like talk like you're doing. Just like talk. So it was fascinating. And the more that I learned about these bands, the more, you know, more intrigued I was. So it ended up, you know, being a great project, I thought.
And, you know, it's a story, fortunately, that is starting to get told in more contexts about, you know, Latinos' role in the beginning of hip hop, or Latinos' role in the Vietnam War. And for, you know, many reasons of assimilation, Latino stories often get kind of lost in these histories. What were some of the kind of lost stories in punk's roots that you were able to tell?
I mean, that's a great thing you're saying, because I agree with you. I think a lot of these stories are lost, and you know, and before, you know, we're talking about the 70s, and a lot of, you know, and some of these stories take place in the 70s, and obviously without internet, it's even harder to find about, you know, find out about these artists. To me, Question Mark and the Mysterians was something really fascinating, because they were a band from Michigan, really, really young. Like, one of them, I think, was like 12 years old when they started. They made this song, 96 Tears, that became like massive. They became huge. They did American Bandstand, and they didn't even last that long, but they became one of these bands that, or the first band that was described as punk in a magazine. And we're talking about like late 60s. So a lot of the times when we think about punk, we think about 70s, 80s. But these things, you know, were happening before then. And so I was very intrigued by them and their sound, and reading more about their story. I was just kind of like, it was so bizarre. Like, there's a part of the story that we're telling where they have a manager that thinks, you know, he has a great idea. You know, we're going to create costumes, and they're going to have like these, like conchas, like the pan dulce, on your pants. And it was just like so ridiculous. As I was recording it, I was like, oh my God, this is insane, you know. But fortunately, they didn't do that. So that was one of the bands that I was kind of fascinated by. But then, you know, Los Illegals, I didn't really know much about them, even though apparently we did share the stage at one point with Tijuana No and them, but I was really young. The origins of Louie Louie and cha-cha music. So it was just, all of it was just fascinating, and makes you realize one more time, or once again, that, you know, Latinos have had a very important influence in American music.
Now, my mom absolutely said that I had to ask about Alice Bag, because so my mom came from Cuba in 1970, and punk music in Los Angeles was really, you know, that was kind of the defining part of her growing up and becoming an American. And for there to be a figure who is, you know, not only Spanish speaking, you know, Latino, but a woman inside of punk was so important, and somebody who also has kind of aged inside of punk, which is a really fascinating thing about Alice Bag, is that, you know, punk is not something that she discarded as something of her youth, but something that she lives in. Yeah. So for anyone not familiar, tell us a little bit about Alice Bag.
So Alice Bag grew up in East LA, and she, you know, she had a difficult relationship with her family members. Being a Mexican-American, her parents were immigrants, and they, you know, traditionally Mexicans can be very conservative a lot of the times. So she wanted to do her own thing. She moved to Hollywood, and she started making music. And what I like about her is that she's very passionate about it. She's always been passionate, like you said. She's been doing this for so many years, and she's very consistent. You know, this is what she likes. So just talking to her, and I knew her from before because we've played some shows together. She's such a sweet woman, but just hearing her talk about her experiences growing up and the difficulties that she faced, and it was just, I found more respect for her than I already had. She wanted to do her own thing, be whoever she, it didn't matter if she was Latino or non-Latino or Chicano. She just wanted to make music, and that was it, you know? So I like that idea of this community that was created in Hollywood in the 70s where everybody was accepted. It didn't matter where you were from, if you were gay, queer, whatever, nothing mattered, and everybody was accepted, and it just seemed like such a utopia. The way she would tell these stories, it made me want to be in a place like that, you know? They created their own little world, and so she's just great. And again, you know, she's in her 60s now, I think. And she's still making music, and she's still passionate about it, and she's still mentoring young women. So yeah, she's incredible.
So we are talking with Ceci Bastida about her new podcast, Punk in Translation, Latinx Origins. And in addition to all the artists that you mentioned that you talked to on the podcast, you also have some of my favorite journalists on the podcast. Nuria Nett, Isabella Regosa, Judy Cantornavas. I mean, just like some of the most important journalists of Latin music. Talk to me about working with them on putting this together.
So Isabella Herrera.
Oh, I'm sorry, Isabella Herrera.
Confused with the other, because there's another one, yeah. I think it was really inspiring to see all these women, because it was mainly led by women. You know, Nuria was the head producer. She wrote it with Judy. And then there's Isabella in it. Like, there's so many women that were in New York and Puerto Rico, in Spain, in Mexico, San Francisco, everywhere. Like, all these women, we'd have these Zoom meetings, and it was just women. And coming from a place where I used to only work with men, or mainly with men, because of the bands that I played in, it was so inspiring to see these passionate women, smart, you know, like super smart, being a part of this. It made me also want to be a part of it more, because I knew of them. You know, I knew Nuria. I've known Nuria for a long time, but I never really knew her, you know? And seeing her work ethic, I was just like, she was, you know, she had two young kids in the pandemic. At times she would be breastfeeding during a meeting. She was just like so in it, and Judy as well. So I was just very inspired by all of them. They're all super smart, and I was just, you know, felt lucky to be part of it.
So we're coming up to the end of the show. We got time for one more song, and you've got such a big catalog, could have gone in any directions, but I wanted to play En Las Noches, which is such a pretty track. Talk to me about the feelings that come up when you perform that song.
You know, I haven't performed it that much because of the pandemic, but I really enjoy it. I think live, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a song that talks about family separation, but at the same time, I like to make music that is kind of danceable, even if, you know, so even if you don't understand what I'm saying, or if you don't get the lyrics totally, you can still dance to it. So I wanted to write the song. It was before the pandemic that I wrote it. We recorded it, and we're about to do some shows, and then lockdown. So I haven't been able to perform it as many times as I would like, but I'm figuring out how it's going to sound live, and it's so far sounding okay.
That was En Las Noches from Ceci Bastida, our artist spotlight of the week, talking to her right now. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
So everybody, please check out her new track, Dale, from Ceci Bastida, as well as her podcast, which is on Audible.
Yes.
Punk in Translation, Latinx Origins. Thank you so much, Ceci. What's up next? What's coming up for you?
What's up next? God, I have a show coming up in May, but I'm also finishing a record. So I'm going to New York to finish a record, hopefully in June. And my plan is to ideally put it out this year, if not beginning of next year.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we'll see you back here when the record's done.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. This has been the Artist Spotlight of the Week interview with Ceci Bastido. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with a fresh Batilo mix from my man, DJ Ethos.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalido podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
So we are talking with Ceci Bastida about her new podcast, Punk in Translation, Latinx Origins. And in addition to all the artists that you mentioned that you talked to on the podcast, you also have some of my favorite journalists on the podcast. Nuria Net, Isabella Regosa, Judy Cantor Navas. I mean, just like some of the most important journalists of Latin music. Talk to me about working with them on putting this together.
So Isabella Herrera.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isabella Herrera.
Confused with the other one because there's another one. Yeah. I think it was really inspiring to see all these women because it was mainly led by women. You know, Nuria was the head producer. She wrote it with Judy. And then there's Isabella in it. Like, there's so many women that were in New York and Puerto Rico, in Spain, in Mexico, San Francisco, everywhere. Like all these women, we'd have these Zoom meetings and it was just women. And coming from a place where I used to only work with men or mainly with men because of the bands that I played in, it was so inspiring to see these passionate women, smart, you know, like super smart, being a part of this. It made me also want to be a part of it more because I knew of them. You know, I knew Nuria. I've known Nuria for a long time, but I never really knew her, you know? And seeing her work ethic, I was just like, she was, you know, she had two young kids in a pandemic. At times she would be breastfeeding during a meeting. She was just like, so in it, and Judy as well. So I was just very inspired by all of them. They're all super smart. And I was just, you know, felt lucky to be part of it.
So we're coming up to the end of the show. We got time for one more song, and you've got such a big catalog, could have gone in any directions, but I wanted to play En Las Noches, which is such a pretty track. Talk to me about the feelings that come up when you perform that song.
You know, I haven't performed it that much because of the pandemic, but I really enjoy it. I think live, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a song that talks about family separation, but at the same time, I like to make music that is kind of danceable, even if, you know, so even if you don't understand what I'm saying, or if you don't get the lyrics totally, you can still dance to it. So I wanted to write the song. It was before the pandemic that I wrote it. We recorded it and we're about to do some shows and then lockdown. So I haven't been able to perform it as many times as I would like, but I'm figuring out how it's going to sound live. And it's so far sounding okay.
That was En Las Noches from Ceci Bastida, our Artist Spotlight of the Week, talking to her right now. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
So everybody, please check out her new track, Dale, from Ceci Bastida, as well as her podcast, which is on Audible.
Yes.
Punk in Translation, Latinx Origins. Thank you so much, Ceci. What's up next? What's coming up for you?
What's up next? God, I have a show coming up in May, but I'm also finishing a record. So I'm going to New York to finish a record, hopefully in June. And my plan is to ideally put it out this year, if not beginning of next year.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we'll see you back here when the record's done.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. This has been the Artist Spotlight of the Week interview with Ceci Bastido. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with a fresh Batilo mix from my man, DJ Ethos.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalido podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something out of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.